Sion, Bilion, Mishan, Ram, Ka, Nitin, Tan, Namco, Yat, Yabahara, Nuan, Nukitan, Sat, Yayama, Nuan,
Anumeyam, to be in view. Alteration and report by the Steinbergs, AC, up to the month of school. All of us on the surface of the globe are living entities in different forms. Some of us are moving, and some not moving. All of us come into existence, remain for some time, and are annihilated when the body is again mingled with the earth. We are all simply different transformations of the earth. Different bodies and capacities are simply transformations of the earth that exist in name. Everything grows out of the earth, and when everything is annihilated, it again mingles with the earth. In other words, we are but dust, and we shall but be dust. Everyone can consider this. In the Brahma Sutra, it is said, Tad ananyatvam ara bhimvala sabda dibhya. 2.1.14. This cosmic manifestation is a mixture of matter and spirit. But the cause is the supreme one, the supreme personality of Godhead. Therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.20, it is said, Idam hi Vishvam Bhagavan Ivedvaha. The entire cosmic manifestation is but a transformation of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because of illusion, no one can appreciate that God is non different from the material world. Actually, he is not different. But this material world is simply a transformation of his different energies. Rasya Shaktir Vidivaiva Shruyate. There are also other versions of this in the Vedas. Matter and spirit are all non-different from the Supreme Brahman, Bhagavan. Lord Sri Krishna confirms this statement in the Bhagavad Gita 7.4. Me vana prakriti ashtabha. The material energy is Krishna's energy, but it is separated. Spiritual energy is also his energy, but it is not separated from him. When the material energy is engaged in the service of the Supreme Spirit, so-called material energy is also transformed into spiritual energy. Just as an iron rod becomes fire when placed in contact with fire. Then we can understand by an analytical study that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. Our knowledge is perfect. Simply understanding the transformations of different energies is partial knowledge. We must come to the ultimate cause. Matei vidu svarta katim ki Vishnu. The knowledge of those who are not interested in knowing the original cause of all emanations is never perfect knowledge. There is nothing in the phenomenal world that is not produced by the supreme energy of the supreme personality of God. Aromas from the earth are different scents, manufactured and used for different purposes, but the original cause is the earth, nothing else. A water pot made of earth can be used to carry water for some time, but ultimately the pot is nothing but earth. Therefore, there is no difference between the pot and its original ingredient earth. It is simply a different transformation of the energy. Originally, the cause or primary ingredient is the supreme personality of Godhead, and the varieties are only byproducts. In the Chandogya Upanishad, it is stated, Yathasom yekra nipindena salvam rinam mayam vidyatam syad vacharam malam vikaro nane dhyayam vichityeta satyam. If one studies the earth, he actually understands the byproducts of the earth. The Vedas therefore include yasmin vidyate sarvam evam vidyatam bhavati. One simply understands the original cause, Krishna, the cause of all causes, then naturally everything else is understood, although it may be presented in different varieties. By understanding the original cause of different varieties, one can understand everything. If we understand Krishna, the original cause of everything, we do not need to separately study the subsidiary varieties. Therefore, from the very beginning, it is said, Satyam Param Dhyanam. Thus, one has to concentrate one's understanding on the supreme truth, Krishna, or Vasudeva. The word Vasudeva indicates supreme personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes. Matstani sarva bhutani lachaham teshva vasti ava. This is a summary of phenomenal and nominal felicity. The phenomenal world depends on the nominal existence. Similarly, everything exists by virtue of the potency of the Supreme Lord. Although due to our ignorance, the Supreme Lord is not perceived in everything. So much is here. First, it's interesting how Srila Prabhupada reveals his British education with more or less quoting the Bible in the translation here. In other words, we are but dust and we shall not be dust. The Christian upbringing, people amongst us may remember this from Genesis. Thou art dust and thou go back to dust. It's repeated in Ecclesiastes. Everything is but dust and it all returns to dust.
The teacher. All humanity nothing new under the sun. These are all from the Bible.
So it's interesting that Jewel Pollard picks up something from this to emphasize this statement by Jodi Barat, who's bringing attention to the fact that in this world, everything is simply a transformation of earth, fire, air, and elemental stuff. What we perceive as a floor, a microphone, the substance is the same. It is simply one energy. And we perceive it intellectually by its function with some name. So, Lehuvenau is being taught here that we have to go beyond the names that we apply to our experience. We have to go deeper. We should go beyond the world of simply name designation. Rubin has been operating from this platform. He is thinking in terms of names and designations. And in this way, he's related with everything in his experience. It's all on the basis of impermanent names. The substance is simply transformations of a sub of that which returns again to its same original nature. Everything we see, everything we perceive, it has no permanent existence. Nothing here is. Therefore, Shastra says, it is asat. It's not even real in that sense. Krishna describes that those who are knowledgeable, they understand that that which is permanent, that which is real, has no cessation. It is eternal. And that which changes, that which has no permanence, is essentially unreal. It is name only. Sri Prabhupada concludes his purport with saying that this is a summary of the philosophy of phenomena and noumena. And these students of philosophy are here. You recall Plato's idea of the form, the ideal form. And now to say, was it 18th century philosopher? 1700 something. He expanded on this with the idea of noumena. He introduced this term noumena, which Prabhupada uses here. I have not been a student of philosophy. I'm a student of Wikipedia. And so I went to Wikipedia and found out everything I'm going to tell you right now. It's not something that I learned in school. Or I'm not something, you know, these are all things I learned this morning by going to Google and Googling Google and went to Wikipedia. So now I know something. So anyway, Prabhupada was a student. He didn't have Google when he was writing this. This is not something that he Googled and said, okay, I'm going to pick up this term, noumenal, and throw it in here. In fact, he uses the term noumenal a number of times in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
my research of this led me to understand this a little bit more about what is Srila Prabhupada talking about and how this relates to, why is he saying that this, what we're hearing about, is a sunroom? Not only that, he says it's a summary of phenomenal and noumenal philosophy. The phenomenal world depends on the noumenal existence. Now, to explain this, and I thought it would be good since we're reading this, and I didn't really know what this meant, but I knew it. So I thought maybe some of us other here might not have known. So we could try to understand what Prabhupada is saying here. The idea of lumina is that we perceive with our
Plato says it's something like radio. That sticks into just a good description of how philosophers disagree on that. But what Prabhupada is saying here, when he's saying Muni, he's saying that the existence of a thing, the actual existence of a thing, is in Krishna. And what we perceive of that thing, that is phenomenal. And that is temporary. That will change. We have to go beyond the phenomenal and understand the noumenal behind it. We have to reconcile to see what Srila Prabhupada says here. The phenomenal world depends on the noumenal existence. And this is interesting. Because this is actually, he says this, and then he says, similarly, everything exists by virtue of the potency of the Supreme Lord. Now, this is a very interesting thing he's saying here, because he's saying, he's giving some credit to Plato and Kant and these different philosophers' idea that there is some sort of form, ideal thing that exists independently of the phenomena that we perceive. We have a member of our society, scientist, you know, lots of kind of philosophers, who are doing anything. He's physically and actively interested. And some years ago, he pointed out to me, and you go to his website, you can see how he reviewed it. A verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:26-34, which relates to this. The activities and characteristics of the ethereal element can be observed as an atomic for the external and internal existences of all namely the field and activities of the vital air, the senses, and the mind. I'm not going to read the whole circuit, but I'm going to read just one verse. Just one sentence. This verse is the potential basis of great scientific research work. For it explains how subtle forms are generated from the ethereal element, what their characteristics and actions are, and how the tangible elements, namely air, fire, water, and earth, are manifested from a subtle form. So here we're going to link this up together. What we perceive in this world is manifested from the subtle this subtle energy, in other words, is the noumenal. The noumenal world is the subtle world. The world of the abstract world, the ideal world. Our friend Rasarat has taken these concepts and applying them in physics and making astounding discoveries in terms of how quantum mechanics and all kinds of things that I don't understand anything about can be explained on the basis of this science of Shrimad. But for us, who may not be so scientifically or philosophically inclined, the point Srila Prabhupada is making here is to bring our attention to the fact that everything is connected to Krishna. What is the difference between material and spiritual? We'll test. One thing I would say in this book, who is this? Be careful. I try to speak slow. Lord, matter and spirit are all non-different from the Supreme Brahman Bhagavan. Lord Sri Krishna confirms this statement in the Bhagavad Gita. Me binna, binna, prakritya ashtara. Me binna prakritya ashtara. These eight types are independent of separated. The material energy is Krishna's energy, but it is separated from him. The spiritual energy is also his energy, but it is not separated from him. Material energy means simply that energy of Krishna which is not connected, and you said it like you heard it, with his service, his direct service. And yet it is still serving. There's nothing to get out of the service of the Lord. But there are different forms of service. There's favorable, direct service where the Lord Himself is enjoying. And there is that service that to the Lord which separates the consciousness, which you talked about, of living entities from Him. So the separation is what? The separation is the separation of consciousness. When our consciousness becomes separated from Krishna, then it becomes material. When our consciousness is in Krishna consciousness, it becomes spiritual. The whole world becomes spiritual. Our entire experience becomes spiritual when we are in pure Krishna consciousness. There is nothing remaining material. The very definition of material that Srila Prabhupada gives you is without Krishna consciousness, without being conscious of the connection that this energy has with Krishna. Now, still, Krishna says, inferior level is the energy which constantly changes. Goes from earth, from earth, dust, from dust. And there is the eternal energy, the eternal energy. And when these are brought together, the Prabhupada says, when the, like an iron that is put in the fire, then it becomes like fire. It acts like fire. So let's be clear that there is still a quality to this world. But don't expect that as you become advanced in Krishna consciousness, that you all will one day become advanced in Krishna consciousness. It is guaranteed you will address Krishna as his path to him, his victim. This is not a doubt. You will all be brought home step by step back to God. So on your path, you get more and more realizations. This philosophy, these words, Krishna, these descriptions become more and more real to you. You begin to see less and less distinction in the world you perceive. You begin to see that everything is part of Krishna. You begin to see Krishna in everything. You begin to relate with everything and everyone as one in connection with God. Now, as we progress, does this mean that we begin to see material forms become eternal forms? Are we going to begin to see that the temporary nature of what we see in this world is stop? No. If the world that we perceive today, as we are in a body, as we have a body in this world, it will continue to grow. Regardless of how advanced we become in Krishna consciousness, it is that Janagamya is a very advanced devotee. And he can testify. I is going very well. Fortunately, we can be done. We are in Krishna consciousness. We get younger and younger and younger as we start to slough off the designations and concepts that we've accumulated in this material life. We go back and back to our more simple understanding. We're simply servants of Krishna. And everything is these, as Prabhupada says here, they exist simply by the virtue and the power. potency of the Supreme Lord, although due to our ignorance, the Supreme Lord is not perceived in everything. So the message here, Rabbi repeats several times, true knowledge, true understanding, he addresses the scientists and the people of this world who study the phenomena of the world. But they don't go to the cause. They're stuck on the phenomenal level. They don't go further. Their knowledge can never be perfect. You see this? It's obvious and admitted by the scientific community. In fact, one of their pillars is that their knowledge is imperfect, but that no one, there's no such thing as perfect knowledge. You can never have perfect knowledge. It's not possible in their view, especially when it comes to understanding the quality of the same reality. It's hard. Yes. It's in the past, and you can't go there. So you can only infer. You can only infer. Inference is good. In fact, that's what this verse is about. Inference. We have to infer things. There are many things we can't know by direct experience. We must infer. And Jadvarat is saying this. We should consider all of these things and get some inference out of our experience of this world. But what should that come to? Jadvarat is pointing us in the direction of inferring from our material experience, from our experience of this world, the existence of the Supreme Personality. And then we get to know Him by His grace through Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and the revelation of the devotees, the Vaishnavas. Then we can truly know, and we can actually know. Here we have the summary of all philosophies. I was quite taken by this. This example is education. He's learned it in the Western world. Bhaktisiddhanta could see this and take this knowledge and education and use it to explain Krishna consciousness in this world. So there's more that we can talk about around the world and the world and so on. And perhaps someone else can speak on these things. Because someone else can speak on these things. Or if you have to leave, by giving up that frustration. Don't be frustrated. Don't feel frustrated. Let me put it that way. Don't feel frustrated. Be enthusiastic. Count your blessings. Don't count your, failings so much. Count all the blessings that you have. Count the times that you did hear the holy name of Krishna? How about those times that you were able to chant and dance and arti and just remember that there's more to come? And be enthusiastic and go forward and just with patience. This is not a... And be confident that you have blessings of Guru Krishna with you. But don't offend the Vaishnavas, or you can lose it. That's one thing to be very careful. Because if you offend the Vaishnavas, you can really get that. Other things, other offenses, distraction, this, that, sensual, you know, allurements and so on, they come and go. They will pass, and you'll pick up. But if you offend Vaishnavas, then you run big risks of really going of being clouded. So be very careful in your offenses to Vaishnavas. And be patient and yes. Which? Yes. Yes. Well, that intelligence becomes another tool of serving Krishna. It becomes less and less of a tool for our boosting our ego, which is usually what we use this discriminatory powers for, is to set ourselves apart or to enjoy the world or to do anything for sense gratification. And we begin to simultaneously see the oneness in the world and use the discriminating power to use that one energy that is Krishna's energy to help serve it. So it becomes a tool of service rather than a tool for others. But our perception, you can purify it, you can see things as they are. And then truly as they, fundamentally, and then we use to apply discriminating powers to then help this one thing, the service of Krishna. So these are all intelligence in our material condition is a instrument of satisfying our senses and taking us into the material world. And intelligence in the spiritual life is the direction of the mind. And so he gives us that. He points out, and sometimes what we would have the discrimination we might have made with material intelligence will be reversed with spiritual intelligence. What we saw was black and white in a material sense is no longer black and white, or it's the reverse. But night becomes day, but day becomes night. Our whole power of discriminated this intelligence that you describe becomes now Krishna's direction. So that changes. And some things, so we depend on that power. Does that answer your question? Yes, we will. Krishna does say that I supply intelligence. But we also hear that there is an energy or an element. So there appears to be both. There appears to be that which Krishna is supplying, and there appears to be an energy of intelligence which is governed by the modes and functions within the modes of nature, and according to the karma and so on. So the reconciliation seems to be what we hear here, that there's it all comes together by understanding the ultimate cause. So when we see that Krishna is the ultimate cause of everything, material and spiritual, then what is on the surface material intelligence is actually coming from Krishna. But what I was trying to realize is that there is spiritual intelligence. There's spiritual senses, there's spiritual mind, there's spiritual body, there's spiritual intelligence, and that spiritual intelligence is characterized by its connection to Krishna. It's not separate from Krishna's human desire. That's my only way to answer that. You have to speak up. Yes, because we are jivatma. We have spiritual intelligence is our natural constitutional being. That's who we are. We are living beings with consciousness, and although it is hidden, it's what the Prabhupada describes it. It's unmanifest. Spiritual body and mind and intelligence is unmanifest to us. It exists. We haven't. We don't have it. We aren't. And it manifests regardless of our external physical, material mind, body, intelligence. That's not. It's irrelevant. We saw there are many examples of this in the scripture of devotees who externally did not exhibit a lot of material intelligence, but whose spiritual intelligence was filled, was manifest in very high words so they could see. Hare Krishna, thank you, Hare Govinda. ভক্তদের ভক্তদের কষ্ট দিতে পারবেন সবাই পুরো কষ্ট দেওয়া যায় আমরা প্রচারে যাওয়া বিষয় না যারা প্রচারে যাওয়ার প্রচুর অভিজ্ঞতা আছে ভাষা সব জায়গায় কোনো কষ্ট